Hello, and welcome to Iacon Underground Radio for early March 2025. This is Jen.
And David.
So, I guess if we were staying on the bi-weekly schedule, we should have recorded last week, but we didn't want to record last week because Toy Fair was this past weekend, and you don't record right before Toy Fair. That's ridiculous.
Yeah, no.
So, though it ended up...
I thought about it for a split second. It's like, oh, wait, Toy Fair's coming.
Yeah, I got to be on the somewhat more or less annual Radio Free Cybertron Toy Fair live stream.
Woo, yay.
Not that I really need to, like, promote them, because if you're listening to this, you definitely know who they are. But that was a lot of fun. I got to be on there. We got to eagerly await reveals that I was looking forward to that never actually happened. So,
aww.
That was sad. That was sad. No last two of my dumb boys.
Well, we know they're coming, presumably, eventually.
They're coming someday, hopefully before the tariffs get too bad. Yeah, it's hard to keep politics out of toys, but we're going to trust that everyone is aware of what's going on in the world right now. And just, y'all know. Everybody knows. But the Radio Free Cybertron live stream was fun. It is up on their podcast feed right now. It was, you know, a lot of diversions because it was a lot of waiting around for Diecast and Logos Minor to get into place and then FaceTime us. But other than that... Yeah, it was on video. I had like put up stuff on the wall behind my desk so I could...
Oh, God. Wait, what is even behind me?
I
Here are my wall scrolls.
I went with quality over quantity and I put my Death's Head original art page up there and my kid video record and my Alex Milne commission of Mike Sounders.
I'd have to move my bookcases to actually have an interesting background.
It's you put the toys on the bookcases. Or you mean you'd have to move your bookcases to behind your desk?
I'd have to move bookcases in here because they're in the living room.
No, you have to put your desk in your living room. You have to completely reshape your life to be a video star.
Well, yeah, but no, that's why I don't have... Also, I don't have a camera. So any fucking happen.
Yeah, I had to just use my, MacBook Air camera. So it was fun, though. I got some cheer wine.
Does the Chromebook
their
have
favorite
a
drink.
Camera?
Probably. Everything has a camera.
Everything
has a camera. It's all watching you.
One of these days we should maybe try. Anyway, video, whatever.
So, yeah. There was Toy Fair news. It was kind of lackluster, honestly. It was mostly just stuff.
Sort of.
Well, it was
a lot of stuff
we already knew about. It was, like I said, we did not get to see Fireflight and Skydive. So we did not get to see the dumbest and the smartest of my dumb boys.
No, but we did get to see the start of the Combaticons.
We did.
Well, Vortex.
He looks good. He looks really good.
Vortex is the least interesting one of all these guys to me.
I mean, yeah, but I mean, his head sculpt looks good. I was really hoping we could see, because, you know, there's a lot of question behind whether they're going to give Fireflight a cartoon head or a toy head. Oh. I mean, I think ideally they should give him a cartoon head, and then if they do a G2 deco, give that the toy head. But no Fireflight. We just got to see a big diorama with Air Raid and Slingshot shooting at Star Optimus Prime for some reason. But yeah, I mean, there were a few things. I feel like the big things were not Hasbro or not Hasbro Transformers.
Yeah, some of the more interesting things were not Transformers specific. I guess Cyberworld toys are kind of neat. They have play features.
They do, and some of them seem to be like weirdly repurposed movie toys.
The Megatron was, because he was like a repurposed, like, hound with a new head and chest.
Apparently that Grimlock is like Rescuebot's Optimus Prime.
Oh, I guess I didn't really pay that much attention to this.
Someone looked closely at the details.
I was distracted by the giant Scorponok.
The Scorponok looks neat.
And Galvatron with a mustache?
And I guess it makes a lot of sense that they would put that stuff out at Toy Fair, because Toy Fair is supposed to be the industry show, yeah, rather than the fan show. But speaking of the fan show stuff, we have unlocked Death Cobra.
Yay!
There was not a whole lot of Lyokaiser at Toy Fair, because, again, it's an industry buyer show, and, you know, like, Target's buyer, or that Go place at the mall, or FYE, aren't going to be buying HasLab toys. But Death Cobra has been unlocked, which, I mean, that was kind of a given, but so glad it's happening.
Pretty much a given. It's like, well, how much time is left on that even? I haven't paid attention. I know it got funded, and then we got Death Cobra, and it's like, yay, I just kind of ignored it after that.
We did see the San Diego Comic-Con exclusives. I don't know if that was announced for Toy Fair, or if it was just announced and also coincidentally Toy Fair. We're getting we already knew that we were going to get Jetfire with his two buddies from Void Rivals. Yeah,
I missed that.
That's been, I mean, we hadn't seen pictures. I mean, it seemed kind of obvious, but I'm pretty sure it was actually, like, at least announced, if not, like, actually shown at any point before now.
Maybe it was announced in Toy News, and I just have been avoiding Toy News because I'm still behind.
But they are, I guess,
or comic news.
Darmok and Solila, whose comic I need to finish getting caught up on.
Wait, their names are Darmok and not Jalad?
That is correct.
I actually read a few of those, and I didn't remember the damn names.
You didn't even catch that. But no. They are about, like, the smaller G.I. Joe size. So
yeah, no, because I think they're specifically, like, old O-ring ones.
Yeah, they do look like O-ring Joe kind of designs. And then the exciting one, not a Transformers one, but yes, on the Joe Classified side, they're getting Cold Slither.
Yeah, I mean, I don't have Jetfire yet, so getting that set would be kind of neat, but I could always just get Jetfire because they've reissued him anyway. But Cold Slither, oh my, it's probably going to be really expensive. And since it's the Comic-Con, it'll probably sell out really fast.
But yeah, I mean, that's going to be like, I'm going to say 150. Maybe 125.
Isn't that bad for four of them? Plus a bunch of instruments, but it's like, oh.
Yeah, it's four classified
figures. Will I even get the chance to get them?
Four classified figures right now, that's 100 right there. And you add in the instruments and the charge for it being a limited run, which I know is not necessarily any kind of predatory upcharge. It's just that limited runs mean fewer units to take on the pricing of setting up all the tooling and everything. So, that's really cool. I have so many things that need my extremely limited toy budget this year. It would definitely be a buy if there wasn't so much else coming out, but I have to see. I'm digging up some stuff to sell that, you know, maybe I didn't need to go through the trouble of moving, but definitely very, very cool that we're getting that. Who is it? Is it Super 7 that's doing the mask stuff?
Oh, yeah,
or is
what
it
was it?
Nacelle.
Don't remember.
It's one of those.
I think it might have been a weird company.
Ah, it's one of the ones that does stuff.
Not the name of the company.
Loyal Subjects.
Oh, that was... Okay, I thought that was the name of the poster, not the company.
No, that's the company.
Okay.
They are the same people who have done over in the girls aisle. They are... they've done, like, Rainbow Bright and Strawberry Shortcake. They're doing some gem dolls, which... bother me a little because they're definitely proportioned more like they're based on the cartoon people rather than the original dolls, but it's still cool that they're doing gem dolls, even if they're not really reproduction gem dolls so much. They are doing glitter and gold gem, which that is soft spot.
Yes, but mask!
Yeah, I mean, which they look fun. They apparently, cool. I don't know if he's like a full employee or just a consultant, but they've got John Warden working on them.
Oh.
Which is very cool. Good that he's, you know, got stuff going on after being let go from Hasbro. Yeah. That was a mess. Mm. But yeah, those look really, I mean, they look very exciting for people who want some mask toys. I know that we definitely know people who are extremely excited about them.
Well, I'm excited that they exist. I do not need to buy them because, well, one, they're vehicles.
Yeah.
But they're not like Joe scale vehicles. They're smaller.
Right.
They're a little bit smaller. So they're still bigger than Transformers. So it's weird size class thing. I really enjoyed Mask, but I don't love it nearly enough to buy the toys of them.
But, I mean, it looks like they're doing a really good job of recreating them. Speaking of recreating old things...
Oh, yeah, one of the crazy ones.
This isn't really the toy fair so much, but we did... Takara Tomy did put out some pictures of Missing Link RC.
And... the other one, what's the other one called?
It's just prototype
colors.
We're
getting two new RCs.
It's the prototype colors, and then the cartoon colors.
Oh, okay, they are the same. Like, I thought they were transformed different, but it is the same one, just with a different head and different colors.
I think they were just posed differently, because they can pose. Because you can do that with these.
Yeah, they have working knees, which are pretending to be her tires.
Yeah. I mean, it's pretty cool. It's really cool. I really like that, you know, they did a couple of the Missing Link things that were, like, the obvious ones, and now they're just going way off into the weeds, and that's pretty great.
There was also announced... they're also doing... was there other ones that they announced? Oh, no, I was thinking about the Dramatic Capture series. Or it was like preview images that just, like, were grayed out. It threw me off.
We got to see what the Hot Wheels crossover is going to be. We got two of them, and they look really good. I know there's talk that the production ones are not going to be quite so sparkly and painted and fancy. I'm really hoping that they take the chance to do an updated High Beam from G2, who was kind of like sneakily based on a Hot Wheels car design.
Yeah, now these are two, I guess they're classic Hot Wheels. They're ones I never had, but they do look neat.
They do look nice.
They managed to pick two guys that feel very much like a Decepticon and an Autobot alt mode.
They're kind of like premium deluxe, so they're going to be a little more than deluxe
bigger
price,
than a
but
deluxe.
They're fancier. They got more, I'm sure, parts count and paint and everything.
Well, of course, they're bigger than the current deluxes, which probably means they're the size of older deluxes.
Mm-hmm. So a couple that we did actually get to see that were new at Toy Fair were Alchemist Prime and Onyx Prime.
Yes.
So I would love that Alchemist Prime if he had some colors. He's colored like a movie toy.
Yeah, he's very much, this is Hound again.
Yeah,
with a mustache.
And it's sad because I really want to like him because he's a fun character, but then he's just like Grays. And he shouldn't be Grays because he's a fun character.
He's green. Isn't he? He's like army green.
It's like gray green. Yeah, he's like really muted colors.
There's a few accents of gold on him, but there should be a lot more.
I mean, some more colors. I wonder if with the primes, they're intentionally going with a very, like, muted color scheme to make them seem ancient, or...
Yeah, which seems to translate to each of them as a different color.
Yeah.
Just mostly one color.
But he, with some gold
accents or
silver
accents.
To be more fun colors.
Yeah. Whereas Onyx Prime looks fine as this weird bronze centaur thingy.
Yes. Also, absolutely does have the centaur mode. So, very important. Yes. Very important for him.
Centaur mode, and like his beast, like a griffin beast mode, centaur mode, and actual robot mode. Which, it's like he's a triple changer, kind of.
Kind of.
Just have different like numbers of legs.
Gerwalk kind of sense.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Which is cool, and his mask opens up to show a face that's not Shockwave, but...
And then we did get also our first look at the upcoming Sideways.
Yes, which, when I first saw it, it's like, how is that different from the original? It looks great.
It does look very good, but it does look like, you know, if you've been collecting for a while, this is the same toy you bought for $10 at Walmart 25 years ago. Well, 22 years ago.
Slightly transforms differently. Like, the legs are different somehow, but...
Maybe.
Just staring at the robot mode, it's like, it looks a lot like the same toy with ankle tilts.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, solid colors instead of translucents.
And we got to see the Devastation generics. I was actually sad because I keep seeing that car and thinking that it's Boss. Who is an obscure...
Well, you could use him as a stand-in for Boss.
UK toy.
He is exactly those colors.
He is exactly those colors, and I had his toy for a little while, and I liked him a lot. He's a very nice color.
Get an Autobot sticker to put on him, and there you go.
See if I can do something to make his windshield, like, bright, bright pink, because that's a vital, important part of those early 90s UK designs. So we got those. We saw the new Perceptor. I know he was supposed to be bulked up a little. I mean, he looks good.
Yeah, it looks fine. I don't know what the difference is.
I'm sure if you have them stand next to each other, the original Studio Series and the new Studio Series Perceptor, you'll notice, but not noticing from what we saw so far. But he does come with the cassettes to immortalize
one
of my favorite...
Fighting behind him in the background.
One of my favorite moments of that movie when Perceptor is getting beat up by tapes because he's Perceptor and he does not fight. He is not good at fighting, and he's just like, oh no! Poor guy. I know, it's kind of at his expense, but it's, it's getting beat up by cassettes. Blaster's like, come on, buddy. Come on. Anyway, I'm definitely getting those, because I've been getting I've been getting all the cassettes, so.
Yeah, I do, need Rat Bat.
Yep.
And I never got that Perceptor, or any Perceptor, for quite a while. Wait, is G1 the only Perceptor I have?
I did get that Perceptor, so he might be going in my cell pile. I'm sure.
I know I didn't get that one.
That'll be fine.
And I didn't get the one that has the half track. Was there another one in there somewhere?
There was a Titans Return one.
Maybe, but I'm not sure. Anyway, I'll probably get in this. And
One was like a tail ender. So it was kind of a pain to get.
Oh, and maybe that was the one I did. I'm definitely getting the other one, which is already on sale on Amazon.
Yeah.
Carnivac and Iron Fist, or whatever the hell we're calling him. I can't remember.
Yes.
It's Iron Fist.
Fissatron.
It's Fissatron.
Yeah, when we were doing the live stream, Logos Miner mentioned that Carnivac's, the Weird Wolf mold, had been fixed. And I, as someone who deals a lot with animal rescue, was like, he's been what now?
Yeah, there was it like the hinge of the like where you stick the headmaster in, like it shattered or something. I haven't transformed mine in a while because it was, I didn't want to mess with it.
Well, apparently it has been fixed, and when they say that, they do not mean neutered.
Well, maybe he's also been neutered.
I mean, that's possible. You don't want him humping anyone's leg. I mean, he's a giant robot.
Oh, but, well, of course, now he's a headmaster because he's the weird wolf mold. I think his head was called Survivor.
Survivor, which is great.
Okay.
It's because in the UK comics, there's this group of characters left over from other plot events, and they were called the Survivors.
Ah, I figured it was a comic thing.
And it's a UK comic thing.
I thought I just forgot the title of an issue.
Which is something that everyone will soon be able to read about with that Skybound compendium that's going to steal all of my remaining money.
Yeah, because I've never read the UK stuff.
Oh, you should. I mean, you can. There are places that have the collections that have gone before, available for piracy.
Well, yes, I could probably.
Which I only condone when stuff is not legally available. But I do have those stashed away. I should at least. I have my Titan Books collection of City of Fear, which is the one that the Zarin and Flame set is based on. And I pulled that back out to read, when I was waiting for that toy to show up. So it's good stuff. It's good stuff. What else do we have? I guess you want to talk about the metal card bots.
Yes, which, other stuff not Transformers related, but kind of is. Cause
I don't know.
Metal card bots is this odd little Korean toy line that I think there's a third series or animated series that's coming out, or the third season of the series. And I just stumbled upon them on eBay or somewhere. Anyway, I found them on eBay, and it was like every once in a while I'm tempted to buy weird, not Transformers toys. There was a different line that had giant combiners like Troll and Golem or something. I forget what the names. There were big things I wanted those, but it was over $100 to get the damn thing. But anyway, I found this little pirate ship called, wait, what is his name? I have the card. Black Hook. And it was $60 on eBay. It's fuck it, I want a pirate ship. Oh, I might have been trying to get the pirate from one of the Brave series who turns into it. Captain Shark.
Oh, that's Web Diver.
Yeah, I was looking up Captain Shark.
That's from Web Diver.
No.
Which is kind of post-Brave.
Was it? No, Web Diver was something else, because I have some Web Diver toys.
Captain Shark is Web Diver, but I
They could also be wrong. Have a shark, I think. They must double check. Captain Shark robot. Yes, he's from the Brave series from Gold Ram. Okay.
Captain Shark Billy's. Oh.
Yes, from one for the Brave series. Anyway,
so who's the one who was in?
Oh, Galleon. I also have him.
The one that I'm thinking of was
the pirate ship that transforms into a dragon. Because I have a picture of the two of them together. Anyway, the point is, I bought Black Hook. He was $60 on eBay. It's...
Okay.
The transformation quality is more like a deluxe. It's a really tall toy for the limited transformation it has. But it looks cool in robot mode.
Mm-hmm.
And I was I've been tempted to buy some more, metal cardbot toys. But again, they're frickin' expensive and big. Announced at Toy Fair.
Yes.
With the prices are half what you could get them on eBay, so hell yes, I'm getting more.
All right. That could be something that's going to be...
The first cartoon series. I think they're also... They're going to put the series on YouTube translated. I think they're also going to put the series out. But the toys are coming out, the early stuff, including Black Hook, for prices that are half what eBay, I think it was $32 for, it was a suggested price for him. There's some bigger guys, little guys. And there's a car called, what is it, Blue Cobalt or something?
Yeah, they lost me.
So the robot
names
aren't great.
They lost me with the Disney's Cars windshield eyes.
Okay.
I can't.
It's ridiculous.
I can't.
Yes.
I don't care how it makes sense. I can't.
It doesn't have to make... It's fine on Black Hook because it's just eyes painted on the sides of his hull. It's like it's a pirate shit. Who gives a crap? But yes, all the cars have eyes on their windshields, which is ridiculous. But you could possibly just paint them over because most of the windshields are like white or something. Because they're eye colored.
I guess. Ah.
If it bugs you that much, yeah. Or just leave them in robot mode because they look like Transformers in robot mode.
Or I could just spend money on the Skybound Transformers Compendium.
Yes.
Which I don't think we have a price for yet.
No.
But
because the Kickstarter hasn't gone up.
It's going to hurt. It's going to be, it's 4 volumes, so I think it's going to be deep hurting. It's going to be painful. But that's fine. I still need to sell that universe variant cover someday.
Yeah.
So I think we are, what else do we have that we are definitely going to talk about?
Metal Card Boss, Devastation Generics, Sideways, I think that's basically it. Well, there's some more Brokies and stuff that are coming out, but we knew that.
Yeah. We did get some new Blockies showing up.
Oh, dear. I keep calling them Blokies. I want to... They're Blokies.
Well, they're Blokies in the UK.
Yeah.
Which, admittedly, is, like, the most significant parts of the fandom.
Oh, weird. Well, going back to the metal card bots, they come with little cards that transform into, like, guns or accessories of some kind. They're not metal. They're just plastic.
That's just wrong.
I know.
You can't just do that. That's not acceptable.
But like, if they were metal, it would call it's a weird, because I've only seen like clips of the cartoon, and I think I follow some of the toy designers online, or at least I know I follow some guys who post a lot of toys as they're coming out.
Mm-hmm. So yeah, they might work at the company.
Hmm.
All right, well, shall we move into our discussion for this week?
Oh, yes, spoiler. We should have mentioned at the beginning we're going to have a spoiler thingy. Here's a spoiler for something not Transformers.
Yes. So we have decided to be, I guess, you could kind of say it's Transformers adjacent, but probably less Transformers adjacent than a lot of things. But this week, we both got a chance to go see the Mobile Suit Gundam G-Quax Beginnings movie.
I prefer calling it G-Quax.
Well, that's not how they pronounce it in the movie.
It's supposed to be Quax, yes. But, like, the Quax. It's G-Q-U-U-U, like 6 U's.
Now, I do think it's important to note, because I feel like not everybody went in realizing this, it's really not a full movie so much as it's
no,
a prologue,
like,
and then a pilot.
4 episodes? I think people have said it's like maybe 3 episodes, but I think it works out
I
to
think
like
it's 3.
4, kind of.
It's the runtime was like 1:20.
Yeah, it's 1:20, which in an episode is like 23 minutes minus the opening and ending.
But it's a prologue and then a pilot. So
yes,
the spoilers are really not like deep plot spoilers.
Not really. I mean,
they're really more just setup spoilers.
Yeah, it's setup spoilers that like we were slowly figuring out as more information was coming out before the movie came out that, oh, this is the original Gundam 1 Year War alternate timeline.
Which, yeah, but I am very lucky now to live in a place where I don't have to drive nearly 1 hour to a theater that does these events, so.
I had to drive over 1 hour, and I lost sleep over it, because, like.
That's rough.
Which sucks, because, like, a lot of, like, some anime things have been showing up more recently at the theater close to me, but not this. Mm-hmm. But, like, Fandango and other sites, like, they changed something. Because I used to be able to look up things, and it would show, like, oh, movies that are... this movie's playing over 1 hour away from you. Now it wasn't even showing that shit. I had to, like, check the old theater, I used to go every once in a while to see Mystery Science Theater, riff tracks and stuff, uh-huh. in theaters, to find the movie. Oh, it actually is playing somewhere I could drive to, like an hour and 20 minutes away.
Eesh.
So I did go. Well, thankfully it was a short movie.
Yeah.
Like, if it had been a longer movie, I would have gotten home so late.
But, I made a whole shopping trip of it, because it's like the town. It's like 25 minutes away, but it's the town that's big enough to have, like, a Books-A-Million. Oh my god, that Books-A-Million, that was dangerous.
I didn't go to anything in the mall, and it's like Destiny Mall, which is the biggest mall in New York, I think.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, it's not like Mall of America big, but it's big.
Well, my mall is not that big, but it seems to be doing decent for itself, so that's surprising.
Well, okay. There used to be another mall with the movie theater not that far from the one up there that I used to go to, because it was less crowded, but mm-hmm. it was so less crowded that that mall is gone, because every time I would go there, like, more and more stores were gone.
Ah.
To the point that all that was left was, like, a cinema and the theater. And lots of gyms. I don't know why.
No, this one's pretty healthy. It's got an FYE. It's got a Go Toys and Games. It's got a GameStop, of course. It's got your, like...
I don't remember what's in the Destiny.
Yankee Candle. It's got a Charlie's Cheesesteaks, which, as a Columbus, Ohio person, I'm always like a chance, even though it's never as good as it actually was in Columbus itself.
Well, I didn't want to hang out at the mall and wander around to find toys to buy or whatever. And there's probably so many stores in the Destiny Mall. Because I wanted to make sure to leave in time to get to a Native American restaurant I used to go to on the way up there.
Ooh.
Before they closed.
Nice.
For the night. So I had a delicious turkey dinner.
Mmm, turkey. I went to Ross. They had nothing.
Anyway.
But yeah, they...
Preamble
so...
of the actual movie.
We get justice for Denim and Slender.
Yeah.
Murdered in the original series.
They're murdered because Gene fucked up, but in this timeline, the first change that we know of, Gene's mobile suit, Hizaku, is, like, damaged, so he doesn't go into the colony and fuck everything up by starting shooting before things are supposed to happen.
Instead, Char
decides to do that.
But
Char's competent.
I do appreciate that one of the changes is that Denim and Slender get to live.
Yeah, they're both fine. Well, they disappear after the beginning.
Also,
so presumably,
there's also a mention at some point about Garma leaving the military.
Yeah, well,
I'm like, so does he get to live?
Maybe
that would be nice.
Okay, because the movie starts out as the first episode of the original Gundam did, with one minor change. So,
I will
Char
say...
Char steals the Gundam instead.
Mm-hmm.
There's no Amuro. Amuro ain't involved in nothing.
I will say that when
And then,
the...
like, the first episode kind of plays out in faster form of Char doing what Amuro did, including cutting a gun cannon in half. And then we get into Deviation Land.
When the title came up and did that do-do-do-do.
Oh my, the music. Like, I knew that this movie was going to be, like, going off of an alternate timeline, the original Gundam. But that they kept so much of the music.
It was, yeah.
Like, that makes a lot of sense because Hideaki Anno is involved in this. And
yes.
He loves Gundam.
Yes.
Like, he isn't, like, the guy in charge. Like the head writer or anything.
Right, but he's...
But he's still involved, and like, I could feel his fingerprints of, you're keeping the music.
I'm sure people listen to him on things like that.
Considering he's had some big budget movies out.
Yeah.
Yes.
The music was great. The little music sting when the title came up was just...
Yeah.
I laughed. Because that was just, yes, perfect. But yeah, it's... Someone, one of our friends was asking me on the socials if it was, like, something that you could take someone to who was not really familiar with Gundam, and I don't think so much.
Maybe,
but well, there would be
but
a
like,
lot of stuff. Like, who's Artesia?
Yeah. Yeah, like, the first 40 minutes are pretty much just continuity porn for Gundam fans.
Yeah.
Like, telling Rob, like, the two of us seeing it, fine. Rob, no.
No, he's going to be lost.
An hour explaining why it's funny.
McCuvey is there.
McCuvey's still alive. Well, admittedly, McCuvey survives in, like, the books or something.
Oh.
Like, some of the continuity things that in this, they're pulling from the books or from Gearin's Greed video game series.
Right.
Which, like, had alternate continuities because you could play through the timeline and just fuck shit up.
Right. Because it was a video game, so you could do things differently. But yeah, it was, I mean, it was fun, though.
And we there's great things like, they mass-produced the Big Zam, which was like, we could win this war if we mass-produced the Big Zam. They did. And they
did.
It wasn't the reason why, but it happened.
Go for it. Of all the things. Of all the things to mass-produce.
Yeah, so
the Big Zam.
Oh, there's so many possibilities they could do in the series, because so many characters could still be alive. Like Ramba Rall.
And we don't hear anything about Bright, because I guess...
No,
because
he never makes it onto the white base.
Right, he doesn't make it onto the white base. Amuro doesn't have to pilot the Gundam, so he just presumably proceeds with, like, having a normal... I mean, not that normal, but a relatively normal, I guess... As much as an angsty new type teenager can have a normal life.
Well, we do actually see his dad.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Driving in the Jeep Tamaret,
when they're pulling up. I was like, hey, it's his dad.
Yeah, and because there's no hole in the colony, his dad doesn't get spaced and go space mad. And build the Tamaret circuit. Which, what the fuck did they call it? The registration thingy looks a lot like the Tamaret circuit, which is another fun touch.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, like, first 40 minutes is, like, continuity porn.
It is.
Fun stuff. And Shalia Bull, they made him sexy. What the fuck? and now we can ship him with Char.
He's such a twink. He's such a twink now. The mustache is a little weird. But other than that...
It looks better, like, because in the original thing, like, Shalia Bull was, like, one or two episode dude with the mobile armor he flies in this. And he just... He just dies off because he doesn't mean anything. And he looks like he's 70. But I think he's only like 25 or something.
Yeah, because everyone in Gundam is like...
Because Gundam ages.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anime ages where, you know, the 16-year-olds look 16 and then the 19-year-olds look 80.
Yeah, it's very weird.
Like, again, Bright looking like a full-on adult and he's like 19, 18.
Yeah.
Not that old. I need to go back and rewatch the original series. I have not watched it in a while, but yeah.
Or at least watch the movies.
I could watch the whole thing. Get real comfy.
Good. Yeah.
But maybe when I'm done with Macross 7.
It would be an interesting parallel with this. Oh, I need to start Macross 7. Really need to, because I've been wanting to see that for decades. Anyway, Gundam!
Basara is my idiot son. Anyway, yes. Yeah, he's a twink now. So, I mean, the mustache does look very much like a mustache that a character from the series would have.
Yeah. Oh, that's the thing.
So, like, it doesn't look out of place.
Yeah, the character designs, like, Char really doesn't look that much different from the original Char design. The mobile suits are different in strange ways, especially the Gundam.
Yes.
But, like, Charlie Bull doesn't look that different from his original design. Well... Okay, he sort of does, because he doesn't look like an elderly man anymore. He looks like a man in his 20s.
He looks like a twink.
Twinkie. But, like, the new characters, when we get to them, like, their designs are sort of radically different, but it doesn't feel... Like, the progression of the animation, it feels like it works towards that.
Yeah. I mean, he feels like he fits into it.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I guess he's Char's new type... like, protege, since Amuro is not around.
Well, and neither is Lala.
Yeah, neither is Lala.
There's a weird thing about, like, some lady from Saturn or something, or Sharon. So I forget what they were called, that we don't see, which could be Lala, but probably not. It's just weird new things
the
popping up.
The whole, like, conversation, the first, like, significant conversation between Char and Chalia, and I'm like, yeah, they gay. This this real gay. This is real gay.
Yeah. Char's sitting in a chair swirling a glass of wine, and Shali is nervous on the other side of the table.
It's real gay.
Yeah.
Everybody in this movie is gay.
But I
really liked that whole part, you know, and it really just, you know, it didn't linger on things. It was basically like a Cliff Notes showing you where things happened differently.
Yeah.
Ending with Char in the... I do appreciate that he painted the Gundam red, because of course he did.
Yeah, of course.
He has to. That's his thing. That's his shtick. Mm-hmm. But, you know, the whole thing where they get on Solomon base, big starfish asteroid thing.
Yes, and, which is... They were going to crash it into the moon.
And then he, like, taps into something with the Psycho Kamu, and he can see time.
Yeah.
And it blows a hole in things. And,
weird. And,
yeah.
And he disappears for 5 years. Him and the Gundam.
So my theory with the G-Quux is that they mention, as we'll get to in a minute, the people who find it, that the name seems to be a placeholder.
Yes.
And I think my theory, given the number of characters in the name, is it's supposed to be G Quantum X.
Probably.
And that kind of ties in with Char saying he could see time.
Well, seeing time like that is a thing from... I think Lala says that in the original series at one point.
Mm-hmm. But that's a very, like, quantum concept.
Yeah. And... Quantum sort of explains why this is an alternate timeline in a way.
Yeah. So, yeah, then we skip to the present day, where the art style looks a bit more modern. I mean, not the present
day. And rounder and softer.
Yes.
Well, it's 0085, I think, was the year.
Yes. So...
Like, it's not that far. It's before Zeta would happen.
It's 5 years after the end of the war.
Zeta was 87, 88, somewhere...
I do like, because...
it was 7 years, and this is 5 years.
I always worry a little bit when you do anything that, like, kind of tries to redeem the villains or reframes the villains as good guys.
Yes.
Especially when the villains are pretty fascist.
Well, no, but this does not, because, like, people in the colony... I think it was the lady in charge of the... clan battle team,
right.
Says that the zombies may have won, but space noids are still fucked, basically. Right.
So yeah, basically the, you know, the army that was claiming to fight for freedom is just a new oppressive force.
Yeah.
So that's good that we're not going full on actually these fascists were good guys. And, you know, even though a bunch of the characters we see are part of that force, it's
including still Charlie Ball and his new type kid, and a very young bridge crew he has on.
Xavier Olivet.
What's still the white base painted green?
Yes, they stole the white base when they stole the Gundam.
They called it Sodon or something?
I think that was it, yeah. But yeah, they stole the white base and painted it green, and people will not stop talking about how much it looks like a horse.
Yeah, well,
it does, though.
A little bit. I mean, it's got, like, front legs and back legs.
Yeah. So yeah. We've skipped forward to 0085, where the Red Gundam, which has been missing for all these years, shows up by, what was it, side... 3 or 4? Now
I needed to look up.
But one of the sides. The sides, of course, being the colonies. And so there...
See our Patreon episode on
Gundam G-Savior. It shows up there. You know, Charlie is looking for it because he's still trying to find his lost boyfriend.
Yeah.
And it ends up, it and the G-Quux end up falling in the hands of these clan battle people who are basically just like, it's just underground street fights with leftover mobile suits.
Underground G-Gundam.
Yes, it's underground G-Gundam. You know, like, tournament slash duel kind of anime is, like, one of my least favorite kind of animes, but I like it when it's like this.
When it's Gundams. When there's G-Witch.
Well, I like it when... So, I was watching G-Witch up until a point where there's an episode that was just basically, like, high school business club, and I was like, this is boring.
This oh, but I liked some of the characters in the high school business club. They're
there's
ridiculous.
A whole episode that's just like a fancy dinner party. And I was like, oh yeah, I hate the pacing of modern anime.
Well, yeah, okay, yeah, but also
it's a
like,
whole episode that's a fancy dinner party followed by an episode that's High School Business Club, and I was just I can't keep going with this.
And there's also the economics of starting a company.
There's not enough lots of crazy fighting. Stuff. There's not enough robots. There's too much, like...
Okay, I will grant you, like, G-Witch could have used some more combat.
That's one of my other least favorite kinds of
anime. I
really
like the show, though.
Is high school.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a thing I got tired of. It did take a while for me to get really tired of it, but there's just so many anime set in high school, I am now tired of it.
Yeah, and the stuff where it's like high school, but everything is extremely serious. But
I don't think we ever see the inside of a classroom in G-Witch, though.
No, I don't think we do. So it's
everything
just
around that.
Teenagers being all teenager-y.
Well, because G-Witch is actually like a sports anime that just happens to have Gundams.
Yeah, I don't like sports anime.
Sports anime is fun when it's ridiculous, like Mobile Suits or... Well, my favorite sports anime is actually a cooking anime that just plays out like a tournament sports anime.
This is like how I realize that I don't actually like anime. What I like is space opera, which occasionally happens to come in the form of anime.
Yeah, well... Again, Gundam, space opera, back to this.
Or Macross. So they get a hold of it. The main character has extreme main character energy, like...
Yeah, well, because Machu, I forget what her full actual name is, but Machu is her nickname. Mm-hmm. She looks like Cliff Jumper from Gridman.
She does. She's back. We're back
She's
to using
like
that design.
The same exact outfit and hair color.
We're back to using that design, which admittedly, it's a good design.
It's a good design. They're like red, short red hair and a school uniform.
So, I mean, she's pretty obviously a new type.
Yes.
So she gets in
she gets,
the G-Quux that...
Gets involved with the Kira Kira sparkling stuff.
Poor Xavier... Olivet, even though he had the name Xavier, which meant that he should be very big deal new type. I'm not saying he's not a new type. I'm just saying that he is...
No, he's a new type. He's just...
Not like, as much as her.
Your random teenager child is always going to be more of a surprise.
Yes. They get into it. She gets... And so she finds... It's like Kaoru Nagisa is a street hobo living under a bridge. Mm. Is our Shoji.
Yeah, who does graffiti and has a little square robot.
Shoji is he's absolutely mad and I like him a lot.
Yes.
That's my favorite.
And it's kinda like he's possessed by the Gundam, the original Gundam now painted red.
The Gundam is telling us to fight.
Yes. Which
The first shot of him is a very Kaoru shot.
Yeah.
Like, he's up. They know what they're doing there.
Yeah, like, I'm wondering, like, is the Gundam possessed by Char, or is it just this kid is insane? Who knows?
I feel like he's gotta be communicating
with
in
something?
Some way.
Someone?
Yeah. I mean, he's definitely communicating with something.
Maybe not Char.
We don't really have a lot of details on where he got the Red Gundam from yet, but I think that's the thing, is that normally I don't care a lot about tournament and duel type anime because there aren't usually as many of these other interesting mysteries going on.
Yeah.
It's just the fighting. So with that...
Well, also probably the tournament thingy probably isn't going to be last that long. It's as long as they're going to be inside the colony, which is going to be maybe 10 episodes at max, I would guess.
So yeah, I am looking forward to seeing the rest of the series and seeing where things go and seeing if Chalia finds his boyfriend.
My guess of where it's going, at least in the near future, is Chalia defects and Machu takes the Gundam back onto his ship and they just become their own faction. They're the new White Base.
Yeah, I could see that.
He is the new Bright.
Yeah, I could see that.
Because, like, in the preamble part, like, Char mentioned to Chalia, we should kill the zombies because they suck.
I mean, that was his whole thing.
And they're like, Chalia might just be waiting around, hoping that Char would come back so we could do that.
Yeah.
Because, like, Dozel Zombie's definitely dead.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't think they confirmed that any of the rest of them are dead. Because, like, Garma left the war.
Right.
Cassilia was almost smashed by Solomon, but saved. Survived. Thanks to Char.
Yes.
Which is funny. So she's probably still alive.
Ironically saved, thanks to Char.
Garen? Ugh, if he's still alive, that's fucked up.
I hope Garma is still around. I hope we see Garma.
Yeah. I don't know if Garen would have killed his dad in this timeline. Cause...
I hope Garma has Caddy X energy with Chalia.
oh my god, yes. Yeah, those two need to be... Oh! And, like, who else is still alive? Because a lot of stuff didn't... Is Rambaral alive? Are we going to see Rambaral as a sexy twink? Well,
yes.
Sexy bear. And, like, you could pull in people from Zeta, because it's only a few years before that. Well, not Camille, but, like, some of the, not that there's that many other cast. My fate... Give me Simagara Howe.
Okay.
Bring her back. Bring back the best evil lady who was going to defect to the Federation. Where the hell is she in this timeline?
Yeah. I mean, I don't...
I mean, they're probably not going to bring her and Gato and, like, Ova people, but...
I don't want it to seem like the new characters are so uncompelling
No, I like the new characters. I'm just excited...
Only caring about the old stuff, but...
Excited for the possibility of what crazy character... Since Chalia Bull... is one of the most forgettable characters in the original Gundam. Like, that they brought him back. Who else could they possibly bring back for a couple episodes just out of left field?
Yeah. They did go out of their... I mean, I guess it's not necessarily that out of their way to mention Garma, because you would probably want to know
Garma's,
what happened to Garma.
Like, unless we get a mention that he's dead... Garma is definitely going to show up for an episode or five.
One of my favorite things in the original series in the dub was how they would do that whole, you know, they'd do the next episode teaser and then they would say who would survive. And there's the one before that episode where it's like showing all this stuff about Garma that is heavily implying his death. And it's this next episode, Garma's fate. Who will survive? And it's like, well, not Garma.
And Garma's probably going to be married to that woman he was betrothed to, I think, in the original Gundam.
Ooh.
Who sacrifices herself after he dies.
Mm-hmm.
For trying to crash a ship into the White Base.
Yes.
It's like, oh, there's just... Yes, I like the new characters. I'm excited for Gundam to do an actual full-on AU.
Yeah.
It's fun.
Do one that's more of a what if than one that's completely, like, totally different.
Then, also because it's a time skip, it's not like it's the 1 year war all over again. We're just doing that with a different version because there's so many things that have happened in the 1 year war. That's always where we go back to. But that's the first 40 minutes. We're over and done with.
Right.
We're on to new fun stuff.
That's it. We're on to the new stuff. We're on to some new characters. But yeah, I'm glad that I went out of my way to take the time to go see it, because I had a pretty busy weekend and I needed to prioritize that.
Yes, I know. That's, yeah, with me, I needed to see this just to, like, other shit's been happening in my life. I needed a break to watch something fun.
Yes.
And Gundam.
It was good. So, yeah, I mean, I don't know that that's, like, crazy spoilers or anything. So,
no.
Definitely people should go see it if they have a chance. But I'm sure it'll be, I don't know, on Crunchyroll or something.
Yeah, it'll... Well, that's a question. Like, is it going to show up? Well, whoever's going to be streaming it, huh? I don't know.
That is a question that we will have to find out, because that's kind of important.
So put it on Netflix or, Disney Plus. That'd be crazy if they got Gundam.
Oh, wait a second.
Just somewhere I can watch it. I'm excited about a new series of Gundam. Although, I hate the G-Quax design. Oh my god, it's so ugly.
I think it definitely looks like it's more designed for space combat than the original did.
Yeah. I hate... It makes sort of more sense with the 2B things on its back as thrusters, but I don't like them. I don't... The head is fine. The chest is okay. The limbs... Oh, no.
What about its feet? How do you feel about its feet?
Oh, my God. The feet are the things I hate the most. Like, again, they might sort of be designed for space combat, but they're just... They're the half of the outer shell of a foot. They're not a foot.
Look, you can have that, or you can have the Big Zam. You can have mass-produced Big Zam.
I want the Big Zam. I want the mass-produced Big Zam. I want more wacky suits.
Maybe we'll get some new wacky suits as well as the...
Well, yeah, because we're going to have to get new wacky suits, because part of the preamble was, like, once they capture the Gundam, they stop production of new suits and just start working on knocking off the Gundam.
Right.
Which we don't actually see the, like, Mark IIs or whatever that they build.
I did really like that Jim Cannon at the beginning.
Yeah, because all we see is, like, there's Zakus, there's the Gundams, there's gun cannons. There's a gun tank that explodes really fast.
Of course it does.
But it's mostly, like, there's a Dom. And the one mobile armor that I forget that Shalia pilots, I forget what that's called. But, like, I think the point was, like, they stop before they produce the Gelgoog.
Mm-hmm.
So there's
after
that. So
a gym cannon, a gun cannon, which is actually separate, distinct things.
Yeah. So there's no Gelgoog and stuff after that. There's probably a bunch of aquatic suits because they were built before that.
Yes.
But
the aquatic suits are great.
There's definitely no Zeong and...
But it needs the horns. Stuff? It needs antler.
The goof probably exists because, yeah, that was... Is that before the Dom? I forget the production orders. But, like, now everything of Zeon is going to be based off of the Gundam, which is going to be weird.
Yeah. Big Zam.
Yes, the Big Zam.
Big Zam.
Oh, which probably... We're going to see Big Zam some point.
Yes.
Mass production Big Zams in fights.
Yes.
Oh, goody. Because they're still... Because the colony fights, the clan battles, are done mostly with sold-off, used Zakus with their weapon systems deactivated, their guns and things.
Yeah.
Well, except for the ones they fight.
Yeah, some there needs to be a clan with a Big Zam.
Yes.
Oh, I am ready for that.
Please.
I am prepared.
Oh, right, I picked Big Zam.
I think that has been about enough for this week. We are hitting about an hour.
Yeah, it's going to be a long one. I'll edit it. Oh, we are just at an hour. Huh?
It's always longer than we thought it was going to be.
Yeah. Well, because all the Toy Fair news, and then we just rambled forever about Gundam and anime in general.
Gundams. It's Gundams time.
Yes. Without the guiding hand of Rob to keep us on topic.
Yeah. It'd be like
or
that.
Or an outline.
What's an outline? So, yeah. So, I need to put together, like, a proper closing thing. Because come up with a good closing thing. Let's say I am on... You can find me on the internet at Trickster with an X at retro.pizza and also at Blue Sky. David, are you doing the socials much lately?
Yes, but no, I am on Retro Pizza also, as Strange 4, 4 spelled out. Also on Blue Sky, I need to be using it more. I've been using Twitter less and less, mostly just to browse for shit.
Mm-hmm.
But I do need to use Blue Sky more, and I do use Retro Pizza, Mastodon, quite often, mostly on the weekends when we're watching bad movies.
Yes, and we have our Patreon. I will especially mention that this time because that is at patreon.com/IaconUnderground because our monthly episode for February was G-Savior.
Yes.
Because Bandai can come and take it from my cold, dead hands.
Yes, the first live-action Gundam we have watched.
The first Western-produced live-action Gundam, yeah. Which was definitely an episode of Stardate.
There was live-action Gundam in a video game first,
mm-hmm.
where you had a white guy in a char mask, and it's hilarious. But that wasn't the first movie. That was just game thing. I heard a thing, at least some other podcast, where, like, there's a thing where people can buy individual episodes of our Patreon, mm-hmm. or at least their Patreon, which was weird.
I don't know if that's a thing that
they're rolling out for other shows.
Yeah,
but since we're $1 a month, it just makes more sense to do that.
Yeah, I think that's more of a thing if you're these, you know, some podcasts have like $10 a month patrons, and
yeah, they have higher levels.
We don't need to do that. We're not that big. Our stuff is not that expensive.
No.
Cat food, though. Cat food's getting a little pricey.
Cat food. Do we need more cat food? Yeah.
Yes.
There's eggs in them, our cat food.
Sometimes. Sometimes there is. All right, so that is it for this time. We will hopefully be back. Let's shoot for 2 more weeks this time. Fingers crossed. See what we can do.
By the end of the month.
See how scheduling pans out. I don't know that there's anything crazy going on the rest of this month, but I'm sure there'll be probably pricing on those Skybound Transformer sets to whine about, to cat or wail about. All right, but until next time, this has been Jen.
And David.
Good
See
night.
You in the Sea of Stars. The movie opened the way the original show did, with, like, born into space and live and die!
I know, it was so good.